Hi, this is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzard's Autonomous Zone, episode 190, for Wednesday, August 30th, 2017, and the 30th day of the 2017 Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. And we are glad that we are here, because we're close to the end, coming in fast. Not that we don't love the Dog Days Podcasting Challenge, but it's been 30 days straight, and also, that means we are close to Dragon Con. Boom. Yeah. Yep. I am on vacation from now until next Wednesday. Probably need several more days. It takes me much longer to recover from Dragon Con than it used to, but Tuesday will have to suffice. But very excited about that. And we're going to get to at least a portion of... This is the second time I've had to do this tonight. I thought I had started around 7:50, 7:55, and thought this was going to be... It was going to have this in the can and be ready to upload it a little bit later. And was cranking along, and the dogs went crazy. And Charlotte's dad walked in for dinner. And... I mean, we try to have dinner with him at 8, but I would say in the past 6 months, there have been zero times that he's actually been there at 8, literally. His average is closer to 8:30. It is not terribly uncommon for him to be 8:45 or close to 9 o'clock before he actually gets there, which makes it difficult for Charlotte to get dinner organized, but she does an awesome job. Today, literally, it was before 8 o'clock. It was the earliest he'd been there in months. I was in the middle of a podcast. Dogs went crazy. Charlotte, actually, we had a horrible day with Gracie. We're both going to be up forever tonight because we got hardly any of the prep work that we were intended to do today done. I wasn't really able to help out, and Gracie was just... beside herself today. She was a piece of work today. And so she had finally gotten Gracie to sleep at like 7:45. And she had just sent me a message literally like 30 seconds before the door went crazy, or the dogs went crazy at the door, saying, "Hey, can we switch out or something? Because she's finally asleep and I need to start dinner." And her dad walks in for dinner. And we were like, "Oh man, I mean, we love our dad and we're glad he comes over every day, but that was just unexpected." And just, it was just like the capper on a day that had already been crazy, because I was going to go over a little bit of that. If you remember yesterday, I just had this sneaking suspicion that this project, that cloud replication database thingy that my boss's boss, who's kind of pushing this thing, has been trying to get it finished up during this week. For the past couple days, it is just set. Like, there's this ticket sitting in another queue for like some networking goop. And it's just kind of been Monday and Tuesday, just kind of set there. And nobody didn't really get poked very much. And yesterday I was like, I've got a eerie feeling like 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, they are going to jump up on this thing and go crazy. And it's going to be the super important thing. And I was basically right, except it wasn't 3:30 this afternoon. It was at 10 o'clock this morning, which, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I was there, I've been working, but it was, and from 10 o'clock on, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, do this. And the email thread started with the other group that we're working with. And bear in mind, I'm like, at this point, I know that almost certainly they're not going to get this whole set of testing done before I leave. And I'm the one who's been setting this all up. But I'm like, this is the vacation, one vacation of the year that I really actually care about. That being said, if there's an emergency or something, I'm actually, you know, 4 blocks from my office, but when I'm at Dragon Con. But so I'm trying to get as much set up as possible, and then I'm trying to write up a kind of a cheat sheet for the other DBAs, because I mean, this is a thing that, you know, replication in SQL Server. If you're a SQL Server DBA, you know, there's some weird wrinkles to what we were doing, and I bumped into some things and wanted to make sure I got it all written up. So in case one of the other guys has to help with it at all, that they can. So I'm working on that, and we're doing all this email stuff back and forth. And I thought maybe they actually might start working on it today because I would have rather been involved with it and at least gotten part of the testing done. But no, of course, yeah, about 4 o'clock, everything starts quieting down and I'm like, they're not going to do anything. So I started finishing up my paperwork, the cheat sheet I was writing. Got everything done like 6-ish, something like that. But the other funny thing was when I was getting ready to send out the email about the cheat sheet, just for whatever reason, mainly, you know, I'm not only a database administrator, I'm a production database administrator. People that tend to end up in those positions are people that, you know, are kind of obsessive compulsive-y, check 4 times before you do anything sort of people, because, you know, you don't want, I mean, I work with developers too. We kind of cross the gamut, but primarily, you know, my most important job is to make sure that the production databases don't break. Because you don't want that. So, you know, we cross all our I's and dot all our T's and 2 or 3 times and then go back and check and make sure we did that. So for whatever reason, I decided to go back and check right before I sent the email out about being gone for the next couple of days. Like, I did put in for my vacation, right? I don't know why it popped into my head, but it's just one of those things. So I went and checked our vacation thing, and guess what? I put in for vacation for Friday and not Thursday. And then for Tuesday. Monday's holiday, so we're... Now, bear in mind, I've been going to Dragon Con for the entire time that I've worked for Turner. You know, more than that. This is like my 21st or 22nd Dragon Con. And for at least the last 10 years, if not more, I have taken Thursday and Friday off for Dragon Con. But for whatever reason, I didn't do it this year. And I went and looked in our time off thing, and it was just like, oh, shit. And Charlotte looked up, and she could tell there was, like, a bad tone in my voice. And she's like, what? And I explained, and she was like, what? So I grabbed my phone. I'm like, I'm just calling my boss. So I called Rob and explained what was going on. And I was like, you know. And because, you know, the other thing here is, A, I didn't ask for it off, and it's the day before. And B, we're right in the middle of a thing. Tomorrow they're going to probably need me to work, ideally would need me to work on this project. So I just kind of threw myself under the bus, you know. I was like, you make the call. And I'm like, you know, what is it all right? And he's like, hell no. And then he started laughing. he's like, because I think I'd already sent him a, or he was on one of the email threads where I was sending out a bunch of information. He's like, I've already seen all of the stuff. He's like, you know, the other three of us will all be here tomorrow. He's like, it'll be no problem. So I ran immediately inside, shot an ETO request in, got it approved. And I was like, oh, whew, you know, crisis averted. But that was, that would have been, I mean, I would have had my out of office on anyway, but you know, if somebody had figured it out, all of a sudden, you know, they're calling me and we're like halfway to Atlanta. That would, trying to like work from, you know, McDonald's or something, that would not have been any fun. So luckily avoided that catastrophe. So we are good to go for Dragon Con tomorrow. And 8 minutes in, I'm still going to get off a portion of my Internet of Things thing. I'm not going to get it all off, but I'm going to get a portion of it off. And the portion I'm going to get off is, so I got a lot of Internet of Things. Some of them are, you know, I've got lights and I've got, you know, Amazon Echoes. And I've got cheap little things like Kickstarter a couple of years ago. It's a $9 Linux computer on a chip. It's similar to a Raspberry Pi. I also have some Raspberry Pis. But instead of being $35, this thing is $9. It's like embedded. I mean, it has a fairly limited amount of storage, like 4 gig, but that's plenty. I mean, it's got, you know, it's got a Linux Debian-based distribution on it and stuff. And having like a little, you know, $9 server sitting on your network that can like run cron jobs and like kick off things is amazing. These things are cool. So I've got those sort of devices, you know, like I said, we've got lights, you know, control by the Echo and all sort of stuff. And one of the things that happens when you do that sort of stuff, in addition to, you've already got the proliferation of, you know, you've gone from just having a desktop to having a desktop and a laptop. Then maybe you've got a tablet lying around. And then maybe you've got, you've got a phone as well. And you want to use your Wi-Fi when you're at home. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, you've got other people in the house. And all of them are kind of in the same situation. You really get that just massively larger number of devices on your network. And maybe you, and you know, best practice, you have a guest network as well, you know, where some of these devices might be on it, and certainly like your guests, so that, you know, they're not as connected to your internal systems, all that sort of stuff. And I have found, I have gone through many a router. You know, I had RT54Gs for years, the old venerable Linksys with a one of the mini Linux, you know, like the embedded Linux distributions that you could get for it. I had those for a while. I had, and then as even those guys, and you could tweak those and get more interesting, you know, or better performance out of them. But, you know, as they started to fall by the wayside, you know, I went through, like, at one point on Wirecutter, I think I went through two or three generations of Wirecutter's number one recommended routers. You know, these are like TP-Links, blah, 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 blah. Can't remember which ones. But, you know, these are like $150, $160 routers in some instances, and they are supposed to be, you know, the top end of the home-type router sort of thing. And I'm not talking about coverage issues. I mean, sometimes occasionally have coverage issues. But the main problem is the router's ability, like with internal routing tables and stuff, to just handle a lot of devices, especially a lot of DHCP provision devices. So yeah, you also got like Rokus and you know Amazon Fire Sticks and Xboxes and all these things in your house. And so you get into the situation where, you know, every two or three days your network just kind of sucks. Nobody can figure out what's wrong, but you finally figure out that if you go and reboot the router, everything is fine again for three days, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. But you're in a situation where you're rebooting your router multiple times a month. That sucks. And then you're trying to stick Internet of Things devices in there. So you're trying to stick in, you know, light bulbs and Hue, you know, bridges and, you know, Amazon Echoes and all these other things that are jumping on your network. So, you know, you're in the dozens of devices range, and just every so often things all get wiggy, and the solution that you determine is the best one is to reboot your router. You know, you get to the point where you're like, well, maybe I'll just set up a job to reboot my router once a week. And it's like, I mean, maybe even that kind of helps, but it's like, that's like a crutch to fix, you know, to mollify something that is broken and there's just, you can't figure out how to fix. Well, I finally figured out a couple of years ago how to fix that. And what I have, I'm going to put some links in the show notes. What I have, and it actually looks like mine is, and kind of unsurprising. Well, no, I got this like a year and a half ago because looking at my Amazon, you purchased this item. I have a pair of home networking devices from Ubiquiti. And they are, sorry, I didn't mute my phone. Just wanted to check and make sure Charlotte wasn't trying to get hold of me. Ubiquiti makes, in effect, enterprise-class hardware that is priced at a point that regular people can buy it. And I think they even make some combined devices now, but what I have, my setup is, and maybe you'll do some research and do a follow-up on this later, but my setup is from a recommendation that I heard online, is I have a Ubiquiti Edge Max Edge Router Lite. So it's a router with one WAN port in and then three Ethernet LAN ports out, you know, so I guess it's one WAN port and three LAN ports. So you got one WAN connection coming in, and then you got three Ethernet connectors internal to the to your internal network. It is not Wi-Fi, so that's why I said this one's a two-part solution. But and the Edge Max Edge Router was this saying 97? I don't think that's what I paid. I think I paid less than this. In fact, here, view this order. Because I remember at the time. I don't know. I guess that's not true. Okay. I paid about $100 for that. And then the second piece, so that is a router, but it's LAN only. There's no wireless involved. And then the second piece is another device from Ubiquiti called the UAP ACLR Networks Enterprise Wi-Fi System. It's a wireless access point. It's the sort of wireless access point that you see at like companies. it's not an edge or a mesh networking router style like you know Google makes and what's that Echo? I think the one that you kind of hear on podcasts and stuff. So there are separate access points. If you get multiple ones of them, you kind of spread them out. You run Ethernet to them. But really, I mean, I have in our size house, we don't have a very big house. One is more than sufficient for the entire house, so it's no problem. So the two of them together, about $200. So it's a little bit more than one of those high end, you know, TP-Link $150 routers, but not a whole lot more. And in fact, nowadays, I heard this a few months ago, Ubiquiti makes a new router. It's called the ERX, the Ubiquiti Networks Router ERX. This guy's like $50, and it's in fact, I think this is basically the improved version of what mine is. It's the one that they're selling now because it looks like it has basically in fact, it has more ports than mine. It has one in and it has three out, regular, and then one out. That's power over Ethernet. So you could actually run that access point with power over the Ethernet line and not have to connect it to the wall otherwise. And the two of those together would be $150. So you'd have the $50 router and then the $100 access point. And that's a little ramble fest. Like I said, I'll put Edge Router X. That's what it's called. It's on top of it. And that's basically, I think, the improved version of what I have now. It's a little smaller. But a little hyped up, and it's as good or better than mine. And the thing about these Ubiquiti routers, they have their own Edge OS, which I think is Linux based. I think it might even be Debian based. But they are, you know, they understand how enterprise class networking works. And a little challenging to set up. Like when I got mine, I had found some instructions on how to set it up the way I wanted to, and the router itself, the like web interface that you get, I know a lot of times for a router, didn't look right at all. And I finally determined, the router that I've got has an old version of the firmware. So the first thing I had to do was upgrade the firmware. But anybody who's messed with a router a whole lot is familiar with doing that sort of thing. Once I upgraded the firmware, pretty easy. They even have like a little wizardy sort of setup thing in there. To set up your networks however you want. Do you want to, you know, create a guest network, all that sort of stuff. And the thing is about these routers, once they're set up, the access point itself is pretty easy because it's literally just providing the Wi-Fi. It's not doing DHCP or anything like that. All that's happening in the little router. And the thing about this router is it is rock solid. I have literally, and I am using that word specifically correct, you know, this is true. So I've had this thing since March of 2016, I think. I have never had to reboot this router because things are hung up and I don't know what's wrong and I think I should reboot the router and, everything's good again. I've never had to do it. The only time I've ever had to do anything is at one point in time, we had a power failure and some things, and I was out of town and some things got reset. Everything didn't get like reconnected properly. And it just basically, I did at that point have to come in and unplug and replug the access point just because I think it had come up faster than the router itself. That only happened like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but in almost a year and a half, this router performs flawlessly with dozens of devices, you know, on DHCP leases. It does not care. You can add another device. It does not care. My networking performance actually went up. I at one point in time had a couple of what I consider the most important device, like our Roku and my Xbox, plugged directly into the broadband modem using its Ethernet ports rather than plugged into the router. Because I figured I'd get better performance, and I got to a point in time where I was like, there was a day where everything in the house was performing fine except for the Roku and the Xbox. And I was like, what? They're on, you know, they're directly connected to the modem. And I actually took them, put a bigger switch in, so that I could use more ports with the router. Just, you know, a dumb switch that's not doing anything exciting. Connected those two to the router. So they actually had two extra jumps. They had to go to the router, they had to go to the switch, and then they had to go through the switch, you know, connecting them to the internet. So in theory, there were two extra jumps there. My networking performance went up on those things like three times. And I haven't even set, I've considered taking my, my router, or not my router, my modem, and just switching it to bridge mode. So it's not even really has routing capabilities or, you know, anymore. And it's just basically talking to the Ubiquiti router all the time. But I've read up on that. And for the particular model modem that I have, it looks like a fairly complicated process that you can screw up. And in some instances, you end up in a bad place if you screw it up. And the performance that I'm getting right now is so good, that I don't care. I'm like, literally, you know, the day after I put all this stuff in, my general networking performance in the house went up by like a factor of two, you know, throughput wise, if you go, you know, do any of the tests or anything. So it wasn't like, oh, I waited 3 months and they did something, you know, to our, you know, to our cable infrastructure somewhere here. It was like, no, I tested it the next day and it was like insanely fast. So that's, you know, oh shoot, I'm in 21 minutes. I'm so sorry. Well, we're near the end. So that's my little spiel. You know, I have no stock in Ubiquiti or anything like that, but they make freaking rock solid, super high performance for not all that expensive amount of money. Networking equipment. And if you're thinking of getting into the Internet of Things, you know, game, or even if you don't, you have games, consoles, and, you know, tablets and all that sort of stuff running around your house, and you get into that situation where every few weeks you've just gotta, I don't know what's wrong, but let's reboot the router and see if it makes everything okay. Ubiquiti hardware will solve your problem. I've absolutely found that to be the case. It is amazing. Love it. So that's my spiel for today. So again, this has been Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. You can find me at kenzoid.com. My email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. And at kenzoid.com, you can find all the stuff, you know, Google+, Twitter, Facebook, Goodreads, LinkedIn, all that good stuff. If you want to get in contact with me, this podcast is Creative Commons licensed, attribution, share alike version 3.0 US. And we will talk to you tomorrow, probably from the road. Be August 31st, and we'll be on our way to Dragon Con. So see you then. Bye.